This is Ben Cooney for 92.3 FM. I'm sitting here with Adrian Gould from Kavar. What is Kavar, Adrian?
Kavar Partnerships is a ministry dedicated to discipleship and evangelism in Cape York and Papua New Guinea.
How did it start?
So we were already working in Western Province in Papua New Guinea. The organisation that we were with was an incorporated body, and it turns out that they had some legal difficulties with that, being that it's not recognised internationally, and it's not even recognised in states other than the incorporating state. So being incorporated in WA, it wasn't recognised even in Queensland, so the decision was made to set up Kavar to continue that work and do it in a structure that was going to be more suitable down the track.
Excellent. And you mentioned that it was more of a calling than a mission. How do you represent a calling, mate? Like, how has it been a calling more than a mission?
Oh, I think the calling is one of those things you can't really avoid. It invades everything that you do, whereas a lot of people might do something with their spare time or for other motives, but it's not an all-encompassing thing that you strongly recognise God's hand on from day to day.
And what is your background in this area, Adrian?
In the ministry area, I grew up in a Christian home, one involved in ministry. I knew from fairly early on that my flying training was to go to a ministry sort of role. I've been flying now for 25-odd years, and the vast majority of that has been bush flying, remote area flying and so on, in areas where we've been doing ministry and similar areas. So, yeah, all across North Australia and down as far as Victoria and into Papua New Guinea.
And how many people are involved with Kavar?
Kavar is still a very small organisation, a young organisation. It's hard to say exactly how many are involved because we don't maintain a strict membership like some organisations do. So we've got people who give us a day or so and others that give us weeks or months at a time as volunteers. There are no full-time people involved in Kavar. We all have to raise our own support or work for a living or whatever as well. But we do have a board and a governance structure and all those sort of things. So, yeah, we function as an organisation. Hopefully, we'll have another pilot who'll be the closest to full-time we've got yet coming on in October. So that's pretty exciting.
So are you the only pilot at the moment?
I'm the only pilot at the moment that's here all the time. Yep, Matt that's coming in October has done numerous times with us previously. And hope that this move of his up from Coffs Harbour, Byron Bay, will be a long-term one. That's our prayer. And he'll be able to take on more communities in the Cape than we're currently doing. Yep.
And you work to support yourself. Is that right, Adrian? What do?
I teach people to fly.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's that's sort of in the industry, I guess.
Yep.
Have any of your pilots been trained by you?
We've got one of our partner organisations right now. One of their guys involved in ministry is currently undergoing his training with me, which is a bit of a privilege, something all of its own that's got its own dimensions when you go and do ministry together and then all of a sudden turn into teacher and student the next day. But it's great, and it really is a privilege to be equipping guys to do ministry, guys and girls. We'd like to be able to do a lot more. The Cape, PNG, wherever you want to go, the story all seems to be the same, and that is that the fields are ripe for the harvest, but the workers are few. So that's why we use aeroplanes. It's the company ute. It's how you get there and back. It's a way to cut down on travelling. So Kawanyama, for example, is a 12-hour drive or just under a two-hour flight. So we save ourselves 20-odd hours out of a week of travel time. It also means that both us and the partner organisations we work with can get more done in a week or have more face-to-face time with the people they're trying to disciple, which is what we're there for. We're not there to be spending all our time sitting behind a steering wheel. We want that face-to-face time, that discipleship time, training time, and the aeroplanes buy us that. So if we can train more people to use small aeroplanes to cut down on their travelling time, it's all good.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. I'd rather fly for 2 hours and drive for 8 hours, that's for sure. Tell us a little bit about your aeroplanes.
So Kavar has an arrangement to use an aeroplane with one of our partner families. That's the 182. It does the majority of our work in the Cape and in PNG. With the end of COVID, we'd really like to get it back into PNG more often. So to fill the gap, one of our supporters has purchased 172 for us, which is the other one here in the hangar that we're currently working on. It will take over the work in the Cape. And then we have a third 172 that was purchased out of the floods in Lismore. And that's a complete rebuild job. That'll take us at least another 12 months to get that one flying. Yep.
And when I was talking to you earlier, you said you've pulled lots of dirt out. What happened to the plane from Lismore?
So it was in one of the hangars that was flooded in the floods earlier this year. It was washed out of the hangar after the doors were washed off and was washed off the airport. At some point, it flipped upside down. It was retrieved by a helicopter from about 3 kilometres away and put back on the airport. We purchased it and got it off the airport in a couple of days, and 2 days after we got it off, the second flood came through. So it was very much God looking after the timing of that one, because we didn't know there was another flood coming. It has been fully submerged, so that means we do need to strip all of that mud out. We've already got over 40 kilograms of mud out of one wing, and there's plenty more to go, so lots of work.
Yeah, that's full on. I would have thought it was a write-off, but that's excellent. You're able to use it, and you must be the man to get it rebuilt anyway. I wouldn't even attempt it, but good for you. That's awesome. So, Adrian, can you tell us about a few testimonies that you've got with flying up to these remote places?
Sure. Well, we'll start with the Cape. The Cape, we're going into Aboriginal communities. There is a remnant of believers in most communities, and a lot of people have had something to do with the church, may have even walked with the Lord at some stage. So we get alongside people and try and encourage them, build them up. In doing so, you become part of the life, I guess, of the church and the community. So we do most of our work around a campfire at night in discussion and discipleship, reading the word, asking questions, praying with people. So some of the stories of late that we've had up there, got one lady in the church whose partner of almost 50 years is dying. We've had the opportunity to share with him the gospel. We've got a couple that are going through some very serious marriage difficulties right now. So we're walking with them through their pain, and they're trying to work things out and seeing God work in some pretty amazing ways. Another lady in the fellowship, husband decided to leave a year and a half ago. We've been standing with her in prayer for a number of months now, and he's decided to return to the family, which has been pretty amazing. Not only that, he met God along the way and is now studying the scriptures regularly with his family and now with the wider fellowship as well. So many different stories, and yeah, watching God's hand at work's pretty amazing.
Yeah, praise God. I love hearing stories like that of God moving and using you, but also moving in the situation that he's using you in. That's fantastic. When we're also talking earlier on, you mentioned something about some snake bite kits. Do you want to tell us about that and how God's hand was in that?
Yeah, we either work in Western Province. Most people in Western Province are subsistence farmers. They work in the same environment as the snakes. Papua New Guinea's got deadly snakes just like we do, death adders and Papuan blacks and red bellies and whatever else. And so there are a number of fatalities every year. A lot of the rural clinics and so on no longer have supplies as simple as snake bandages and snake anti-venom kits and so on. In fact, most district hospitals wouldn't even have anti-venom at this stage. Infrastructure's worn down to that level. So between Praxis and ourselves, we had a number of close friends that lost kids or spouses in late last year, early this year. And so we decided to try and be a bit of practical help. And to that, we wanted to send a container load of snake bandages up to be distributed when we get back up there, or before if it takes too long getting there. And so we put a call out to try and raise money for a container load of bandages. And that money was raised in just over 3.5 months. We have a donated shipping container, and we have a mining company willing to actually ship the container up for us. And that'll all be happening November, December. So that's all pretty exciting, 50,000 bandages. And to see God's people pull together to make that happen, and the donations come in when we don't have anywhere near the sort of money required to do that between the organisations, it's really remarkable.
Yeah, that's great to hear people supporting you there. And how can people support you, Adrian, for Kavaya? What sort of help do you need from the local community? And
well, the biggest thing they can do is pray for us. Nothing really is accomplished without God's direction and His enabling and His protection and provision. So the biggest part is upholding us, our partners and our families and so on before the Lord. Relationships between team members, safety, provision of the resources required to go and do, and then of course that we'll be meeting the right people that He's got lined up for us on any given trip, given time that we're up there, that we can be open to His leading and be ready to respond. That's the biggest one. There's plenty of physical jobs that need doing around the hangar and preparing our aircraft, and we certainly need more people in the team willing to go, but praying for us is the most important for sure.
I'm sure people can donate as well, donate funds. And
yeah, we've got a website, www.kavah, which is spelt kavah.org.au, and there's a page on there for donations and help. There's also a page there for becoming a member so that you can have a say in how we do things. There's a few little stories in there and all the documentation needed for the membership, the constitution, all those sorts of things, for whatever you want to deal out more. And there's a sign-up sheet there for our newsletters as well. If people want to jump on kavah.org.au, that's where to find stuff.
It's been great talking to you, Adrian. It's sounds like God's really using you in these remote places and in other places as well with the bandages. And yeah, just encourage the community to pray for Adrian, and if you're able to, come and support him, get in contact. Sounds fantastic. So I really appreciate your time, Adrian. Look forward to catching up in the future and seeing how God's using you. That'd be fantastic. But yeah, thanks for your time, mate.
Oh, thank you, Ben. Thank you for the opportunity.